my dear friends in Christ, on this second Sunday of Advent, as we are getting ready and preparing to celebrate the Feast of Christmas, I want to talk to you about the goodness of God. I want to talk to you about the goodness of God to encourage you, to motivate you, to move you to want to love God more, and to strive to love God more in your daily life. Before doing that, I want to mention just a few things practically. When it comes to the season of Advent, we as Catholics should be drawing away from the distractions and the things of the world. We should be putting away the video games, the searching, the social media, the useless videos, or the things that do not help us in our spiritual or our family life. We should try to purify our life during this season of Advent. It is important that we make no compromises when it comes to this matter, because we cannot serve two masters. You will either serve our Lord wholeheartedly, or you will serve the world. You cannot have one foot in both places. I warn all of us that we should not be Catholic in name only. Being Catholic in name only means that we call ourselves Catholic, but when we leave church on Sunday, we live like pagans, or we live like the rest of worldlings. I have a story I wanted to tell you. It goes back a few weeks here from O'Neill that kind of draws this to light or makes this point a little bit clearer. It was the second or third week in November. In fact, I remember it was the opening weekend for deer hunting, and I had taken one of the seminarians and a couple of the border boys with me to O'Neill to do some deer hunting during the day. It's a great break and good exercise as well. That evening, we stopped in town for dinner. We went to a Subway, and when we walked in, there wasn't anybody there. It was already pretty late. But one thing that made me really happy was there were two gentlemen working behind the counter, and one of them was wearing a rosary. For him to be wearing a rosary, he works at a very public job, a Subway, you're face-to-face with people. Right away, I complimented the guy. The gentleman was probably 25 to 30 years old, and the other guy working as well was about the same age. I had asked him, I told him, I like your rosary, are you Catholic? And the gentleman said, yes, I am Catholic. And I would have to accredit it to a divine inspiration. I said, well, that's really good, but you know, if you're Catholic, do you go to Mass? And the gentleman heed, and he hummed a little bit, and he said, well, that's kind of complicated, but no, I don't go to Mass, but you'll have to talk to my mom about that. And I was thinking for a second, of course I don't want him to go to the modern false Mass. I'm not trying to encourage him to go there. But another divine inspiration, I believe I told him, I said, well, if you're Catholic, you should be going to Mass, right? He understood that. Another divine inspiration, I told him, I said, when you die and you stand before God, your mom's not going to be there, and you're not going to be able to blame your mom. I wasn't trying to insult him by any means, and he understood what I was telling him. I hope that it helped him. I hope that it woke him up. Before we left, we paid for our Subway sandwiches or whatever, and I encouraged him. I said, you should learn how to pray the rosary, and you should pray the rosary every day. The point of the story is that if we call ourselves Catholic, we have to be Catholic through and through, not just on Sundays or not just in name. Being Catholic is something that affects every aspect of our life. It doesn't mean that we are free from suffering. It doesn't mean that we don't fall sometimes. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle in our daily life. No, those are a part of this battle, this veil of tears. Life is a warfare. We are fighting for our eternal salvation. We are fighting to be with God forever in heaven. And this leads right into what I wanted to talk to you about today, is the goodness of God. If you step back and you look at all that God has done for you and for all of mankind, we can see that we have no excuses if we lose our soul. There will be no excuses. There will be no blaming mom or heeing and humming before God, because after we die, we will see everything clearly. We will see how much God has done for mankind. In talking about the goodness of God, I want to talk about it to encourage you, to inspire you, and to help you to especially make a good preparation for Christmas, but also to help you to save your soul. First and foremost, when it comes to the goodness of God, let's go all the way back to Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve offended Almighty God, God could have casted them off. God could have said, it's it, it's done, it's over, no second chances. Consider what happened to the angels when the bad angels fell. As soon as they said, non servio, I will not serve, they were cast out into hell. There was no second chances for the angels. Of course, they are different than we are. They do not have a body. But consider the goodness of God and for allowing for Adam and Eve and for mankind to have a second chance. When it comes to that second chance, consider the amount of years that passed between when Adam and Eve had fallen and when the promised Redeemer had come. About 4,000 years or so had passed. And why did so many years pass by? Why did God wait so long in order for him to come and to redeem mankind? Think about all of the generations of men and women just like yourself who had longed for the coming of the Redeemer, who had sat in darkness, who have not the knowledge and the grace and the opportunities that you do. Why did God wait so long? First and foremost, God waited so long so that all mankind may know the enormity of sin. See how bad sin is that it causes mankind to suffer for so long. One that's probably a little bit more easier to understand is that when you have to work for something, something that you want to achieve or something you want to attain, the harder and the longer you have to work for it, the more meaningful it is. God waited so long so that way we as mankind would truly appreciate and long for his coming. We should be grateful for the goodness of God and God's providence and how he worked this out. Another proof, another way we can see the goodness of God is that God made it so that way we would have no excuses when the Messiah was to come. God made it very clear through the prophets when the Messiah was to come, where he was to come, what were the conditions, what was the time, so on and so forth. There were men who had prophesied during that 4,000 years of when the Messiah was to come. God did not want us to miss his coming. He did not want us to miss the coming of the Messiah. How good God is. God was not trying to make it a secret. He wasn't like, okay, you have to go try and do this treasure hunt to try and find me, or something along that lines. No. He made it very clear so it was easy for all of us, all of mankind, to recognize him at his coming. I want to just go through a few of those prophecies right now. I'm not going to read them all, but I just wanted to touch on them so that way you're aware of them. These are prophecies that deal with the coming of the Messiah. In the book of Genesis, Moses had prophesied that at the time of the coming of the Messiah, a foreigner would be ruling over God's chosen people. In the book of Psalms, it had been prophesied that at the birth of the Messiah, kings would come from the east bringing gifts. Also, Isaiah had prophesied that, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Also, Isaiah had said, for a child is born unto us, and a son is given to us, and the government is upon his shoulders. Jeremiah had prophesied about the massacre of the holy innocents when King Herod had all of the young boys, two and younger, killed. Also, Daniel the prophet had prophesied the exact year of when the Messiah was to come. I attempted to get the year right during the first Mass sermon, and it didn't go so well. So I'll just leave you, if you want to know the details on the exact year of when Daniel the prophet had prophesied it, see me after Mass. Also, Osi had prophesied that the Messiah would flee into Egypt, and he would come back as well. Micheas had prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Also, Aegeus had prophesied that Jesus will come when the second temple is still standing. In the book of Numbers, it was prophesied that a new star would appear at the birth of the Messiah. What is the point? There are many more prophecies that we could cover or go over. We can also talk about the prophecies that foretold the sufferings that our Lord was going to endure. The point to be made is see the goodness of God. See how good God has been to the men to foretell them about the coming, his coming, and our redemption. I would also have to mention that in the gospel today, we see how there are a couple of the disciples of St. John who come to our Lord and ask our Lord, are you the Messiah that we are looking for? When these disciples of St. John come to our Lord, St. John sent them because St. John does not want anybody to follow him anymore. He was the precursor. St. John was the one to announce the birth of the Messiah, the one that had been foretold and prophesied would be. St. John recognized the Messiah had come, so there was no more reason for him. That's why he sent his disciples, go see Jesus and ask Jesus if he is the Messiah. What does our Lord say? Does he say, I'm it, I am the Messiah, I am the one you've been waiting for? No, our Lord doesn't do that. Our Lord gives us perfect example on how we are all to act. Our Lord says, see how I have fulfilled the prophecies. The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, so on and so forth. Our Lord was making it very clear by his actions that he was truly the Messiah, the one to come. Consider the goodness of God and how he has provided for the people in the Old Covenant. But God has provided for us as well. And the goodness of God for us, we should consider that we are given everything that we need in order to secure our eternal salvation. During the season of Advent, we are getting ready to celebrate the birth of our Lord, but we are also getting ready and preparing for the second coming of our Lord. There will come a day when our Lord comes again to judge the world, and that day will be a day of wrath. That will be a day, some of us may or may not be alive at that point in time, but just like the prophets of old had foretold when the Messiah was to come the first time, God wants it to be clear for all of us of when he is to come his second time. Because at that point in time, there will be no excuses. We will be able to blame nobody. We want to be ready to stand on that day. We want to be ready and prepared to meet our judgment. My dear friends in Christ, consider the goodness of God. He has provided all of our needs. I want to mention one other thing, and that deals with Our Lady. When we consider Our Lady, God has given us His Blessed Mother as our aid and our help. If you struggle with sin, if you struggle in your family life, if you struggle with whatever it might be, a sickness, old age, you name it, a family member, a friend, go to Our Lady. Ask Our Lady for help. On November 27th, we celebrated the Feast of the Miraculous Medal. Our Lady gave us the Miraculous Medal through St. Catherine Laboure in 1830. Not doing so good with numbers today, 1830. The point to be made is that it was originally called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, but because of the great number of miracles that were worked by and through the Miraculous Medal from Our Lady, that it was changed. The title was changed to Miraculous Medal. We could go through, if there was more time, some of the miracles and the wonderful things that had taken place. But the point is that Our Lady wants you to wear the Miraculous Medal. She told St. Catherine Laboure, to those who wear the Miraculous Medal around their neck, they are going to receive special graces from God through me. Our Lady had revealed that on the Miraculous Medal, we see her image with her hands down, Our Lady of Grace. Those are graces for you if we ask Our Lady for help. Around the image of Our Lady, it says, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. We should all have that prayer memorized. Doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, we should memorize that prayer, and especially when you're tempted, especially when you're tried, the devil will flee from you. Mary was free from all sin, no original sin, no actual sin. So we celebrate tomorrow the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, is that Mary was conceived free from original sin. But we can see the miraculous medal that God wants us to have to help us in order to get to heaven. Consider the goodness of God. Tomorrow on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, also consider that it's a great day to renew your total consecration to Jesus through Mary if you've already made it in the past. It also, if you have never made it before and you're making it for the first time, is a very, very special occasion. If you need more information on it or want more information, come see me. Because when you make your total consecration to Jesus through Mary, you give everything to Our Lady. And Our Lady takes it and magnifies it before the throne of Almighty God. Our Lady does not forget those who give themselves to her. I have a small book up here. This is one that we don't, I think, have in the vestibule right now, called True Devotion to Mary, Simply Explained. This was written by a couple of the Radecki brothers, Father Francisco and Father Dominic. But in it, they summarize the different books that have been written on the total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And I want to close by just reading you a little bit of what they had written about the consecration. The point today is consider the goodness of God. Consider what God has done for us, what he has done for mankind. What are we doing for God in return? Are we Catholic in name only? We come to Mass on Sundays, but when we go to work, or go to school, or go home, we don't live like Catholics anymore. We're given an opportunity now. We're given a shot to change our life. And Mary's going to be the one to help us and assist us. You simply have to extend your hand and ask her for help. Persevere in asking for help as well. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. You can always sew your miraculous medal onto your scapular or wear something else. Our Lady had asked that we wear it around our neck. But don't only wear the miraculous medal, pray the prayer as well. It is rather a way of life, talking about total consecration now, it is rather a way of life that embraces all of our devotions and all of our prayers, all that we are and that we have past, present, and future. It is a generous and loving way to Jesus through Mary. This devotion is to be practiced in the ordinary course of life, as well as in our most important actions. Only when steadily persevered in, and not when merely tried for a few weeks, shall we be able to judge of its excellence and know its fruits. It is necessary to remove all hindrances to this devotion, namely sin and secret affections for all that is sinful. We are not free to not have a master, but we are free to select our master. Our slavery of love is summarized in this formula: to do all of our actions through Mary, with Mary, in Mary, and for Mary, so as to perform them more perfectly through Jesus, with Jesus, in Jesus, and for Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.